It's just about 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. We're for the next hour programming. The opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning. It's time now for Talking Animals. KUCI.
I'm out of the dam, both Jimmy the Harper with a hard little pistol and a lariat. She's going to the bottom, she's going down the drain. Said she wasn't big enough to carry it. She got to get behind the mule, yeah. In the morning and cloud, got to get behind the mule. In the morning and cloud, you got to get behind the mule. You got to meet me by the fall down tree. A shovel of dirt upon a coffin lid. And I know they're coming looking for me, boy. I know they're coming looking for me. Got to get behind the mule, yeah. Get behind the music.
to the window post. In your eyes is a line. Never let the weeds get higher than the garden. Always keep the sapphire in your mind. Always keep the diamond in your mind. You got to get behind the muse. Morning and cloud. You got to get behind the muse. Morning and cloud. Behind the mule in the morning air cloud. Gotta get behind the mule in the morning air cloud.
This is Tom Waits with a song called Get Behind the Mule as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org, and the whole enterprise is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home, yes, that's right, of the mighty Anteaters. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you for the next hour, you can reach us by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love, love, love to get calls here at Talking Animals. You can also instant message us via the good old AOL Instant Messenger. Screen name, perhaps not surprisingly, is Talking Animals. And other good, but, you know, slightly less immediate ways to be in touch with us include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and through our fabulous website, talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, that's .net, folks. Also, before I move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another saucy, snappy, sassy edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Yes, once again, we do love alliteration. I guess we should say we adore alliteration, really, if I was thinking about it. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. We're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our aforementioned nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where thanks to our webmaster extraordinaire, every single show we ever broadcast, up through a week ago today, last Monday show included, is archived. So if you've been to the site, you've heard the show before, you know that the heart of the program really is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Steve Hindy, founder and president of SHARC, an acronym for Showing Animals, Respect and Kindness, an Illinois-based organization devoted to ending animal suffering and abuse. In the interest of truly achieving those objectives, SHARC tends to aim its efforts towards a smaller, focused handful of causes and issues, hunting, bullfighting, and rodeos, just to name three, so that it can and does produce tangible results. Consistent with that approach, while we will seek to get an overview and get some basic details about SHARC, we will focus our attention today on a discussion of rodeos, including some perhaps surprising information about a major corporation that sponsors rodeo events and what that money helps accomplish, when Steve Hindy joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look of items of interest at Animal News. I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items that we're about to share, but any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, maybe there's an event, fundraiser, something you're involved with for an animal group, organization. We'd love to know about it and help get the word out. Observations that you might have about anything going on in the animal world, any news stories you might have spotted that you might think we might not have, or just generally want to make sure we cover. All that, be most welcome. The phone number again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Or again, you do have the option to IM us with any any form of communique along those lines, or other lines really, for that matter. So turning now to interesting and or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. It could happen. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, having said all that, I think you know what's coming next. Maybe you don't. Either way, well, let's talk turkey. As it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rippin' Reed News Department. I think we almost have to start once again with the caiman story. More than a week after a man-sized alligator stunned authorities by servicing in a murky Los Angeles lake, the fugitive reptile has already become a folk hero in the gritty neighborhood where he continues to outwit wranglers and elude capture. Dozens of residents gathered on the shore of Lake Machado on Thursday, sitting in lawn chairs or scanning the water with binoculars as park rangers with nets waited for the 7-foot alligator to rise out of the muck. Quote, "We're pretty confident we'll be able to catch him," park ranger Albert Jednak said as he stared at the calm surface of the lake. "He was actually in the net once, but unfortunately we didn't have the boat ready." Meanwhile, one woman deployed her two young sons to work the crowd, hawking $10 t-shirts, bearing an alligator drawing in the words, "Harbor City, you will never catch me." The alligator, who was chased around the 53-acre lake for much of the week by a professional, quote, gator wrangler from Colorado, did not make an appearance, having last been spotted on Wednesday night. The wrangler and his crew returned to Colorado on Thursday morning to secure larger nets, but vowed to return next week and bag his prey. Still waiting for that moment was Animal Services Officer Guillermo Perea, who sat in a pickup truck designated to drive the reptile, imprisoned in a giant green box, to the Los Angeles Zoo after it was caught. Perea said he would not take part in the capture outing. "I'm not that kind of a guy. I get paid for dogs, not alligators." Authorities believe the alligator was probably once an exotic pet that was abandoned when it grew too large. Alligators are not indigenous to California. It's on from there. So, we will continue our caiman watch. Although now I notice they keep just referring to it, at least in that story, as an alligator. So, but I think we established, hadn't we, previously, that it was a caiman? All right. Or so we thought. All right, it's turning into something much less pleasant, darker. From Kansas, a Siberian tiger attacked and killed a teenage girl who was posing for a picture at an animal sanctuary Thursday morning, authorities said. The Labette County Sheriff's Office identified the victim as Haley R. Hildebrand, 17, of Altamont. A release said Hildebrand was at the Lost Creek Animal Sanctuary posing for a photo with a 7-year-old tiger, which was being restrained by its handler when the animal turned and attacked her. Officers and handlers killed the animal. Emergency personnel were not able to revive Hildebrand, who was later pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators have sent the tiger's body to Kansas State University for dissection. Quote, "This animal has been around people across the country and there's never been a problem," Sheriff William Blundell said in a telephone interview. Keith Hildebrand, Haley's uncle, said the family wasn't making any statements at this time. Doug Billingsley and his family opened the 80-acre sanctuary in 1994. So, really, obviously, tough, tragic story. You know, again, as we've talked about many, 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 many times on the show, and I'm sure, sadly, we will need to many, many more times. I mean, at the end of the day, tigers are still wild animals, and, you know, different, slightly different than some other tragic stories we've reported here, in that I guess he was still being restrained by a handler. But again, when an animal that big, who is still, yes, a wild animal, decides to do something like attack, I don't know if there's much a handler like that could do to prevent it. So anyway, really sorry, and of course our condolences to the Hildebrand family. On a much more upbeat and nutty note, perhaps, and maybe falling in step, if you will, behind our endorsement of March of the Penguins that we mentioned last week. But this one, you know, almost had to be prominent in today's animal news, didn't it? Headline, "Penguin named Colonel in Norwegian Army." A penguin has been promoted to Colonel-in-Chief of the Norwegian Army in a ceremony in Scotland. Nils Olav, who is a king penguin, received his commission at the Edinburgh Zoo on Wednesday. The honorary member of the Royal Norwegian Guard is the regiment's mascot, but has been in Scotland along with predecessor penguins in a tradition dating back to the 1960s. The penguins received honorary ranks whenever the guard visited the zoo. Nils Olav has been at the zoo since 1993 and impressed the zookeepers enough to receive the military honor. He started out as a lance corporal and was promoted 4 times, said a newspaper in Scotland. Nils was seen reviewing the guard during a ceremony in his honor. There was no word on if Colonel Nils is eligible to be called into service by the Army. We try to share an array of stories here. Man, what do you say about talking? Right? Okay. So it's time now for our mid-news animal quiz. It's, once again, today it's a true false question. I will ask the question. If you know the answer and are the first to call in at 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI with the correct answer, then you will have your choice of all kinds of fabulous prizes, ranging from CDs, including a cool one that PETA put together with about 10 or 12 different bands. We've got talking animal stuff. Got some really, it's actually good quality stuff. I'm really happy about it and proud to share it. We've got talking animals t-shirts, talking animals sweatshirts, talking animals coffee mugs. So those are amongst your choices. We also have a t-shirt from PAWS, the Performing Animal Welfare Society. Talk a lot about it on the show here. They run that sanctuary, or actually 3 sanctuaries in Northern California, but especially the 2,300-acre one up in San Andreas, where there's a bunch of elephants that can happily roam, and yes, we've had Pat Derby, the founder of PAWS, on. Anyway, they have a cool little shirt. It says, nice drawing of an elephant. It says, elephants do not belong in circuses. And we've got stuff from other animal organizations, and we've got books from previous guests on the show, and what else? We've got cat toys, dog collars, and we'll probably get some more stuff soon, just to kind of beef it up. But anyway, you have your choice of any of those things. If you're the first person to call in with the correct answer to this quiz question, and same goes later on, towards the end of the show, when we play Name That Animal Tune. So, alright, here we go. True or false, the hippo is the second heaviest land animal. True or false? 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI, if you didn't know the answer to that one. And, continue with the news here. PETA's Naked Mermaid anti-fishing ad blitz hits Newport Beach and surrounding areas, I think we could say. PETA's new ad showing supermodel Carrie Otis dressed as a mermaid wearing fins and nothing else with the tagline "Fisher Friends, Not Food" has just gone up on 4 billboards in and around Newport Beach. The national ad blitz, part of PETA's Fish Empathy Project, is aimed at challenging residents of the beach town to think about fish as interesting and sensitive animals who are worthy of their compassion and respect. And it gives location of those billboards. Why is PETA asking that we cut fish some slack? Scientific research confirms what marine biologists have been saying for years. Fish are intelligent individuals, just as dogs and cats are. A recent issue of Fish and Fisheries, devoted to learning, cited more than 500 research papers on fish intelligence, proving that fish are smart, that they can use tools, and that they have impressive long-term memories and sophisticated social structures. According to University of Plymouth psychologist Dr. Phil Gee, fish also know what time of day it is. This year, a new scientist reported, quote, the structure of the fish brain is varied and rather different from ours, but it functions in a very similar way. Dr. Sylvia Earle, perhaps the foremost marine biologist in the world, explained, I wouldn't eat a grouper any more than I'd eat a cocker spaniel. They're so good-natured, so curious. You know, fish really are sensitive. They have personalities. They hurt when they're wounded. Eating fish also hurts consumers. Recent studies have confirmed that fish are contaminated with alarming levels of mercury, PCBs, and other cancer-causing chemicals. PETA recommends that consumers switch to delicious, faux seafood alternatives. Quote, fish are not swimming vegetables. They're complex and intelligent animals who feel fear and pain just like we do, says PETA President Ingrid Newkirk. We're asking people to get hooked on compassion and go vegetarian. For more information, please visit PETA's Fish Empathy Project website, fishinghurts.com. And And of course, there's even another issue that they don't mention here that was recently as a week or two ago when we had Captain Paul Watson on the show. Of course, there's overfishing and what that does to not only the fish population in question, but other populations that are affected by the diminished, we're talking about cod relative to the seal slaughter and how that's really sort of a bogus argument. But the point is, a lot of fish species are overfished to the extent where they're not coming back. And let's see, we're going to continue now. Actually, this one, see, people can send this stuff. Serena Sharp, who was just hosting the Serena Sharp show, I thought she really cared about it, sent us this one. Dateline, this is from AP, and it's Dateline Billings, Montana. Wild horse advocates are concerned that the roundup of up to 10,000 wild horses in burros across the West this year will lower their populations drastically and threaten the animal's genetic diversity. The roundup includes the removal this month of 1,000 Mustangs from two herds in Wyoming's Red Desert. Well, you cannot preserve this gene pool with such reductions, said Karen Sussman, president of the Society for the Protection of Mustangs and Burros. Each herd has a significant historical value. The Bureau of Land Management, the agency responsible for managing the herds, will hold 57 gathers this year in 9 western states. In the past 3 years, the agency has removed 10,000 horses each year from federal lands. The roundups do not include Montana's only wild horse herd in the Pyre Mountains, where the population is being limited through the use of birth control drugs. But if the herd remains at 160 horses, a gather will be considered next fall, according to Linda Coates Markle, wild horse manager for the BLM in Billings. Wyoming has 16 wild horse herds. Only two, the Salt Wells Creek and Adobe Town, are scheduled for reduction this month. According to Alan Shepard, Wyoming wild horse specialist for the BLM, the wild horse population at Adobe Town is around 1,200 animals, with the Salt Wells population near 625. Target populations for the herds are 610 to 800 for Adobe Town and 250 to 400 for Salt Wells. The populations, Shepard says, are so large it's taken a couple of gathers to get to our target numbers. We don't want to do any further damage to the habitat they're in. The area's critical elk, deer, and antelope winter range. Sussman, though, said the notion that wild horses and burros damage rangelands is incorrect. She said cattle grazing more often leads to environmental damage on public lands. Quote, for the most part, wild animals move more across the range. She said if they're going to remove 10% of the horses, it has to be commensurate. They should remove 10% of the cattle and 10% of the wildlife. And he'll say that argument will rage on. Quickly, one last thing, and then we'll probably jump into the comedy corner and then get ready to welcome our guest, Steve Hindy. Want to remind you, as I periodically do, about the Animal Rescue Site. It's a website. The address is the Animal Rescue Site, S-I-T-E, of course, .com. And you can go every day, and in fact, we urge you to. And as soon as you get there, you'll see a little section that says Feed an Animal in Need, and you just click on that. And by doing so, that is in fact what happens. It's clicking there frees up monies through an arrangement with corporate sponsors and advertisers. And that provides food and care for abandoned and neglected animals in various shelters and towns and facilities. So check it out. It's a simple way to do a good deed every day. It's the animalrescuesite.com. All right. Well, if we have time at the end of the show, we'll come back to some of the stories we had in mind here. But otherwise, if there are any news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with any comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site, talkinganimals.net. Again, it's .net. And please sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, both the articles we've written and articles that have been written about us, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around. The site again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which as always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. In a nod of sorts to rodeo-related matters that we'll discuss shortly with our guest Steve Hindy, this is Jerry Seinfeld with the first portion of a piece called Horses on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
When you're on the road, which I am not now, you have to do whatever anybody suggests to do for that day, because you got to do something. A couple weeks ago, we were in Pittsburgh. We went to the track, been on the horses. This is idiotic. I think it's fun, but I never would think for a second that I could figure out what horse is going to win. I don't even think the horses know that they're racing. Do they? I mean, are they walking back to the stable afterwards going, I was third, I was fifth, I was ninth. You cut me off, watch that. I'll kick your ass next time. I think more likely they're thinking, oat bag, I get my oat bag now. Oat bag time for me. I mean, I'm sure the horses have some idea that the jockey is in a hurry. I mean, he's on him, he's urging him, he's hitting him, come on, come on, you know. So this is important that I get somewhere for this guy quick, but they must get to the end and go, we were just here, what was the point of that? This is where we were. That was the longest possible route you could take to get where you wanted to be. Why don't we just stay here? We would have been first. I'll tell you one thing the horses definitely do not know. They do not know if you should accidentally trip and break your leg at any point during the race, we're going to blow your brains out. I think they're missing that little tidbit of information. If they knew that, you'd see some mighty careful stepping coming down that home stretch. Easy, fellas, easy. You win, I'll place, whatever it is. All the same oat bag, fellas. Thank you.
Okay, well, that was Jerry Seinfeld in the Comedy Corner, first of all, with the first portion of a piece called Horses, taken from his album I'm Telling You for the Last Time. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals, KCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you, perhaps, arrived through our show website, TalkingAnimals.net. Fortunately, we can't seem to locate Mr. Hindi, so going to hope to hear back from him shortly. Going to hit a couple more news items, and I'm going to try another round of calls, which I just did. So, sometimes things happen, right? Okay. So, continuing with a little piece or two of animal news. Satellite tracking has shown a polar bear swimming at least 46 miles in just one day, the first conclusive proof that the bears can cover such distances in the water. The collared bear entered the water from the east side of the Norwegian Arctic island of Spitsbergen early July 20th, swam northeast, and emerged on Eginoya Island July 21st. The Norwegian Polar Institute reported Friday, dubbed Skadi after a Norse goddess of snow, she probably swam more like 62 miles, as she almost certainly did not swim in a precise line. And took this from Wired News. The internet has become a haven for sales of exotic pets and animal products, many of them illegal and made from endangered species, a study released this week has found. Between November 2004 and January 2005, International Fund for Animal Welfare found thousands of endangered animals and animal products available for purchase over the internet, including a live Siberian tiger for $70,000, a lion, peregrine falcons, and many medicines made from leopard, tiger, rhino, and elephant parts. During a one-week period in January, the study found more than 9,000 live wild animals and animal products and specimens for sale, predominantly from species under legal protection. The animals and products were offered on animal trading websites and chat rooms and on auction sites like eBay. The sale of endangered animals and products give poachers an incentive to keep hunting them and increase the trade in exotic pets, according to the report. This has been a problem for a long time, but it's becoming worse because of the internet opening up new markets and globalization, IFAW spokesman Chris Cutter said. Cutter pointed to several sites allegedly selling endangered animals protected by international law. One is Rainbow Primates, which offers various monkeys for sale, including two capuchins, two Java monkeys, and a spider monkey for between $3,500 and $6,800. Visitors to the site are greeted by a photo of a young monkey dressed in baby's clothing and highlighted by animated sparkles. The theme from the monkeys plays in the background. The site shows many more monkeys in various baby outfits, including frilly dresses and fuzzy-looking onesies. The Rainbow Primates site didn't sell any endangered animals, said employee David Davis, and he doesn't think any private citizen should own a great ape, gorilla, or chimpanzee. Davis said the site's photos are about 3 years old. But a monkey, such as a capuchin, that does everything for paralyzed people, you know, they do make good pets, he said. But you've got to always remember, they're a wild animal. In regards to whether or not people should own exotic pets, Davis said, I think people have a right of choice, you know? This is free America, is that correct? IFAW's Cutter said people who buy exotic animals may have good intentions, but are doing the creatures more harm than good. Cutter said raising tigers in a backyard isn't going to help tigers in the wild, since they're not going to be re-released. On one hand, these people love animals, he says, and I quote, and they're trying to protect them, I guess you would say, but it's a really naive way of going about conservation, he said. Other sites pointed out by Cutter for selling exotic animals include Shriner Farms and Awesome Exotics. Nobody could be reached at Shriner Farms, and an Awesome Exotic employee would not comment. In efforts to stance the growth of such trade, the IFAW is working with international policing groups like Interpol to provide, to improve related law enforcement and data collection. The group is trying to toughen up laws, including exotic pets in the United States, and is hoping to persuade the Department of Agriculture to beef up enforcement of live animal laws. The group is also working with sites like eBay to cut down illegal online trade. eBay has been helpful, Cutter said, though he added, even if eBay were perfect, it would still be a problem. And the story goes on from there. So we're going to hear a bit more of this instrumental. I'm going to take one more stab at Steve Hendy, and otherwise we may not be able to speak with him today, but let's hope that we still can. We're talking Animals and 88.9 FM, KUCI. Okay, well, unfortunately, does seem like Mr. Hendy is unavailable, so we will have to kind of fill in at least on a few of the key details that we otherwise would have discussed with Mr. Hendy. So again, the organization that he's the founder and president of is called SHARC, And that's an acronym for Showing Animals, Respect and Kindness. The website is sharkonline.org. And one of the things that's interesting about Shark, you know, relative to some of the other organizations that are also, you know, sort of devoted to ending animal suffering and abuse, is they kind of much more specific aim in terms of the kind of issues and causes that they focus their attention on. So hunting is certainly one, bullfighting is yet another, and one of the things that we were going to speak about, and so I'll hit some of the key points of today regardless, is rodeos. And one of the things that further distinguishes Shark is they really specialize in video footage that they obtain through various means, sometimes undercover, sometimes from sort of long shots, night video, etc. Feeling at that, you know, to be able to document abuse in whatever the realm that they're working in, whether it's rodeo or other areas that I mentioned, and others you can get on that. That's the way that they can affect real change, get media people interested, try to see about whatever legislation can be created or tightened up, as the case may be. So, and they also have these, because they are really good, they've been doing this a long time now, and they get amazing videos through various means, like I say, with those techniques. And then, if they're putting pressure on a certain group, organization, legislators, etc., they have these so-called tiger trucks. And these are huge trucks with four screens. I mean, basically on both sides, front and back, that show the footage that they've obtained. And, you know, whether they're driving down the freeway, they're set up at a shopping center or somewhere. And it really gets people's attention, needless to say, and it gets people to usually write letters, call, send emails, take action of some kind or another. And so they've done a fair amount of this, of course, in the rodeo world. And one of the things that we would have talked about is that last year at the steer roping finals, steer roping is probably one of the most awful things that happens at the rodeo, because basically, you know, that's where you see the riders, the cowboys, as it were, you know, riding up along a steer, and then you know, lassoing it basically, and then there's that kind of sharp jerk back when the rope is tightened around the steer. And so last year at the steer roping finals in Amarillo, Texas, in November, they documented a bunch of cases of injuries, serious injuries, that 9 severely injured or dead animals basically had to be dragged out of the arena in the wake of the just the steer roping event alone. And of course there's other things, not to mention calf roping, which are similarly awful, because those are for baby animals, right? And but one of the other things too that was one of the reasons I really wanted to invite Steve on the show, that I learned a while back and just didn't otherwise have any reason to know, and so I'm guessing that may be true of others, is that one of the big sponsors in the rodeo world is Campbell Soup. And some people would say, at least at the surface, hey, that makes sense, that rodeos are a family event, Campbell Soup, family, you know, products. But then if you think a little further and sort of find out all kinds of awful things that happen at rodeos, including, you know, I mean, when the bull riding goes on, of course, they have to stun or shock or do something bad to those bulls before they come out of the chute, right? So again, there's a video documented evidence by Shark and others that electric prods are used, other means for abusing these animals are used. And, you know, the list goes on and on, so you kind of wonder, really, then, when you look a little behind the curtain, as it were, what, you know, what would sort of prompt Campbell to sponsor a rodeo. And, as this has been brought out, and all the kinds of abuses have been documented, why they would continue. And they really seem to have dug their heels in. This is something I really was hoping to speak with Steve about, because Coke actually used to be a sponsor of rodeos as well. And after seeing some of Shark's, or a lot of, I guess, Shark's evidence, dropped their sponsorship of rodeos, as did Dr. Pepper. I guess soft drinks are big into, of course, the these sorts of worlds. And so, yeah, I just wonder why Campbell seems so intent. And just so you know, because, again, in preparation for the show, I thought it was only right and fair. So I did invite a spokesperson for Campbell to join us for this conversation. That would have been better for them, perhaps, since Steve's not with us. But Beth Jolly, who works with John Faulkner, who's director of brand communications at Campbell, declined my invitation, deferring and referring me to the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. And, of course, I'd already contacted them to see if someone from their organization would like to join the conversation. And I spoke with Jason Adams, the PRCA's Vice President of Economic Development and Director of Community Relations, and he asked me about the show and who else is likely to be guests and about our website address, and I answered each of those questions, and he told me to call me back about a PRCA spokesperson on the show. This was Thursday morning, and I called again Friday to both his office and cell phone number and never heard back from him. So, and one of the things that Steve, I think, also probably would have pointed out that's interesting and just maybe sort of part of the very problem is that when Campbell customers through radio shows like this and other media, you know, coverage and just other methods altogether, find out that Campbell is sponsoring these rodeos, and again, what happens, you know, typically at these rodeos, if they call anyone at Campbell to sort of complain or at least find out more information or to even voice any kind of dissent, they're referred, sometimes not all that politely, to the PRCA. So it's like, hey, I'm upset that you're sponsoring this thing where animals are abused, and Campbell's response is, hey, take it up with the people who are abusing the animals. What? I know, doesn't make any sense, but that seems to be the case. So anyway, there's a lot of great information about this through Shark's website, sharkonline.org, and there's even a specific site that deals, offshoot site of that, deals with the Campbell Soup sponsorship, and, you know, ideally, I think if you can go to that site and find out more, and also maybe, even though we didn't really get to hear, of course, from Steve himself, Shark is really doing good work, and there's a whole other area of bullfighting, other stuff that they're working hard on. And like all these groups, they surely could use your help and support, and it's very easy to donate online at sharkonline.org. And, but, you know, it's a tricky thing because one of the sort of outs that rodeo folks have, and therefore, I guess, by extension, Campbell people have, is that the treatment of rodeo livestock is not protected under the Federal Animal Welfare Act. So that means, unfortunately, is that each state or local jurisdiction is kind of left to their own devices, really, to draw the line between what is legitimate use of animals for sport and what constitutes abuse. So steer roping is illegal in many states, or at least not acceptable. But, of course, the flip side of that is it deemed acceptable in many, many states. So, notably, they don't even, Las Vegas, Vegas certainly has a lot of different events, in Nevada generally, but, the Rodeo Association doesn't even bring steer roping to its premier occasion, the National Finals Rodeo, which takes place in Las Vegas. And that's because the Nevada state veterinarian, David Sane, said the event is considered too harmful. And there's a quote from him saying, I think you see too many accidents of the animals getting hurt too often. So, anyway, that's sort of the bare bones, that's the Hindi-free version of what we would have been talking about today had he been able to join us. But, you know, that's okay. Things come up. And we just sort of, you know, it's unfortunate because he's a really smart, articulate guy, and hopefully at some point maybe we will try to find another opportunity to speak about some of these things and some of their other campaigns as well. So again, it's Shark, showing animals respect and kindness, Steve Henney, who would have joined us as the founder and president. The website is sharkonline.org. And again, just maybe want to focus your attention, at least initially, and there's other stuff that's of interest and, you know, of course, disturbing at the same time there as well. But the Camel Soup sponsorship, I just find really, a bit surprising, again, when you look behind look at what all goes on at those things. And they seem pretty defensive about it when I spoke to someone in their corporate communications office, that's for sure. So, anyway, that's Shark. It's sharkonline.org. So, I'm Duncan Strauss. It's time now on Talking Animals to move into Name That Animal Tune. And like any other version of Name That Tune that you care to mention, except that in this version, tunes are always animal related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. And the first caller who correctly identifies the song will get their choice of prizes, the same prize I mentioned earlier in the show. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone in. And let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals here on KUCI. Hi, you're on there live on KUCI. Can you name the animal tune?
Stray Cat Strut.
Hey, very good. That's correct. You are a winner. What's your name?
Helen.
Helen?
Yeah.
And do you have any animals that live with you?
Yes, I have a parakeet.
Yeah, what's the parakeet's name?
Otis.
Nice. All right, Helen. Well, any of those prizes in particular sound appealing?
I think I'd like to get a leash.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we will figure out which leash and how to get it to you. But at some point, not necessarily you, Helen, but somebody might want to actually get some Talking Animal stuff. We've got very nice sweatshirts, T-shirts, coffee mugs.
Oh, but I'd like to get a Talking Animal coffee mug. I'll email you. Thank you.
All right. You can't get both, but you can choose, certainly.
Okay,
all right. Thanks for calling. Congratulations.
Bye.
All right. So congratulations to Helen. Indeed, it was Stray Cat Strut. Stray Cat. And so I think that's going to bring us to the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. And Duncan Strauss, one of mine, is the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those. KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again remind people to check out sharkonline.org. Again, sorry we weren't able to bring the conversation with Steve Henney, but I'm sure there's a very good reason on his end, and like I say, at some point we will try to find another time for him to be on and talk about either some of these issues and or some of the other causes and campaigns that Shark is doing great work on and has for a number of years. So I hope you join us next Monday, August 29th, when our guest will be Roland Smith, author of the children's book Z is for Zookeeper, a beautifully illustrated work that provides two levels of animal info, one for toddlers, the other for much older kids and adults. And, you know, regardless of what your view is of zoos, it's really well done. And actually, Roland Smith used to, for a number of years actually, work in various capacities at zoos and knows a lot about animals. And again, the book itself is really kind of cool, and the sort of multi-tiered approach is interesting. So we'll speak with him next Monday, August 29th. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this each weekday. It's from 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. I also host a music show called The Dead Air Zone here on KUCI, Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a wildly eclectic mix of music, covers, and comedy. I hope you'll check it out. And again, I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I really do. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is The Specials. That's not it. That's not it. We'll double check our handy dandy. This is The Specials with a song called Do the Dog on KUCI and everyone. Catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Okay.